Okay, test.
Test, test, test. Did it work?
I think so. I mean, it's picking up a lot of sound.
That's the road noise.
Okay.
We'll just have to be a little loud.
All right. Well, we can do that.
Mayo GTO.
Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. This is our special road edition.
The race report, road edition.
Race report.
For the Rolex 24 at Daytona 2018. It's the longest title I'm ever going to have.
Yes, yes it is. So this is a special race report edition. We will be doing these every time we go to a race. And if you're lucky, they will be on the road. We are recording from the car.
Yeah. And it's just unedited, unscripted, and you can hear the road in the background.
You sure can. So it's almost like you're road tripping with us.
It is like you're road tripping with us. But before we get into that, like two or three news things real quick.
We do have a few news things. So let's warm up those tires.
Well, talking about news.
Yep.
So really 500 news is our big thing to talk about.
It is.
So first of all, bronze badges are on sale.
Damn right they are.
So get your bronze badge.
Because they do sell out. There's a finite number.
There is. We probably should get ours at some point.
We do need to get ours soon.
They have also changed the schedule a little bit. So in May, it was GP. The Grand Prix was on Saturday. Sunday is Mother's Day, so you cannot go to the track. You have to go be with your mom. And then Monday, it would start practice. This year, Monday, they will not have practice, but I believe I've heard that the garages will be open for everybody who has a bronze badge.
Yes, the garage will be open. The track itself will be open. There will just not be cars on the track.
So, there's that. So you can still go there if you have a bronze badge, wander around the garage. I'm sure they'll be flipping cars from the road course setup to the Super Speedway setup for
the Indy 500.
You know, the Indy 500.
Yeah, so you can still go to the track, and they always still have, you know, different things going on each day. There just won't be any cars on the track.
Yeah.
We also are getting, if you're a glamper or if you're interested in the glamping options in the infield, this year, in addition to the yurts, they are going to have tiny homes.
Yeah. They are partnering with like a local business called Try It Tiny to offer these like small houses, which, like, my parents are obsessed with the small house thing because it's on, I think, HGTV. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, there's I think, 7 different tiny home shows. And don't get me wrong. I find them super interesting and how they fold everything in and everything's got a dual purpose. But I could never fucking live in one.
No, I couldn't do it either.
Oh, hell no.
No. So it'll run you about $3,000 and you can use it from Thursday through Monday at the track.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it has a kitchen and all that business.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small house. I didn't know if it would have a bathroom or not. Anyway, that literally just got released as we were recording, so.
Yep, so that just happened.
Look at us not breaking news.
I know it.
Well?
Well, at least we found out about it before we recorded this time.
Yeah, usually it's the opposite.
Usually it's afterwards.
I mean, we're still waiting on Dale.
We also are still waiting on Carb Day Vans.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our race report.
It's been a
great weekend.
Very active weekend.
If you didn't already follow us on social media, you definitely should, because we had some great stuff this weekend. We're going to continue to post things on our other, you know, across all sites. But our website is probably the easiest place to go to just find everything. FastCarsFastGirls.com. You can find our Twitter, our Facebook, our Instagram, all of that. Instagram is at FastCarsFastGirls. Twitter is at FastCarsN317. Facebook is facebook.com/FastCarsFastGirls. And then Snapchat is FastCars, FSTGRLS.
Perfect.
So, and you can subscribe from there as well. And we are now...
We're on Spotify!
On Spotify!
So excited. That actually came across the email when we were at Daytona, so I was real excited to get that, I think, Thursday or Friday morning.
Yeah, we're
at some point.
We're kind of a big deal, guys.
I mean, we're on Spotify. No big. I mean, no autographs yet, please, though.
Yeah.
It's just saying, so.
No questions.
No. I will not be taking questions.
JK, we always take questions.
Yeah. we'll answer it. But yeah, check out the website, because at some point this week the pictures will be uploaded. We'll get a review written up after we record this. I'll somehow write a review of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going
to
work, but
I'll probably write up a little report today, too. I don't have to go back to work till Thursday, so.
Ah, well, that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It is. All right, race report.
All right, here we go. Daytona.
Daytona.
First time to Daytona. First time to a world endurance race, or an endurance road race.
Yes.
So, a lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts for us. We got there. We weren't even there 5 minutes. And every interaction we had with the staff there was just stellar.
It was a really good staff interaction.
Yeah, they were all very helpful, great attitudes. I mean, it was, for never having been there, they gave very clear directions. And we were very impressed.
Yes.
Because that's not always the case when you go places.
No, and we're kind of spoiled, so.
We are spoiled because we love our yellow shirts.
And I have a high level of expectation because of our yellow shirts.
We expect excellence.
We do. And I think they did okay with that, so.
Yeah, no, they did very well.
It's a very interesting track, by the way.
It is an interesting track.
They call it, like, the Motorsport Stadium. And having sat up at the top, like, I get it.
Yeah, it feels like a stadium.
It does.
I mean, it's even got the stadium seats with the fold-down seats and everything. It's not benches like ours.
Which, seats were kind of nice.
They were kind of nice, actually. Yeah, I enjoyed them.
We left late Wednesday.
We did. We left late Wednesday. We drove straight through the night.
Because we're crazy.
Hit a Walmart and got there at, I don't know, 10 a.m.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep. Set up camp.
On the infield. Right near turn. Three? NASCAR turn 3? I don't know.
I think it's NASCAR turn 3.
I tried to give directions. It doesn't work out a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, it was interesting to camp inside that track.
It was. It was very fun.
It was. Because I know, so we've done
Mid-Ohio.
Mid-Ohio, not Road America. Mid-Ohio. And that camping is outside of the track.
It is.
And Gateway, the camping is outside of the track. Yes. So to camp inside when there's cars going around, it was a unique opportunity.
It
experience.
Was. It was very cool. I thought it was very fun to be inside the track.
Mm-hmm. Although what was weird was, so we were camping in the track. You get to drive into the track, whatever. But if you wanted to go watch from the stadium seats, you actually have to leave the track and then come back in.
Yeah, that was odd. You had to take a shuttle, and they would scan your armband because you'd be leaving the track, and then they would scan you back in.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
I don't know. Things like that kind of eat at my logistical loving part. Like,
yeah.
There's
a better way to do this.
And they got it working. I was just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So the general atmosphere of everybody, what do you think?
It was a mixed crowd.
It was.
Because there were I think there are general endurance races that are just the endurance race drivers.
Yes.
But because this is, the big one that pulls a lot of big names, so you had people from all of the racing.
Sometimes, really.
Yes.
You had NASCAR fans, you had IndyCar fans, you had F1 fans.
The endurance fans were all there because this is their big kickoff. So it was interesting because we're used to IndyCar fans, and I think every fan group has like its own sort of characters and personality.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say again, IndyCar fans walk faster than other fans.
They really do.
I mean, honest to God.
Because we got shit to do. Our cars go fast and we go fast.
Right? We can't take our sweet time getting to and from places.
Uh-uh. Our lap times are real quick.
Real quick.
Real quick.
I mean, I thought it was fun. I mean, it was good. It was almost like going to a music festival, but with race cars. You know, you meet all your neighbors that are camping around you. Everybody becomes friends.
Yeah.
If you need something, people are happy to help you. You help out people if they need something. It's kind of, you become a big family when y'all camp together for 4 days because it's a pretty intimate experience.
I mean, yeah.
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 So I enjoyed it. I thought it was super fucking fun.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
It was. We did find out that we cannot sleep through race cars.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Some of them, yes.
IndyCars, yeah, I think if it was like a 24-hour IndyCar race, which will never happen.
No.
We could sleep through that.
Easily. But yeah, that GT class.
Some of them.
And some of those damn Cadillac engines. Fuck.
Really growly.
Yeah, really deep and growly, the kind that just wakes you right up out of any kind of a sleep you might have had.
And I think you and I talked about it because if you would have heard that noise in your car, that's the panic of, I have to get this to somebody ASAFP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, but on that car, it's not a bad noise, but we've been conditioned
to go, oh God, no.
Yeah. So we got a new strategy for next year.
We do.
We're going to sleep a lot more on the front end, and we're just going to stay up the whole 24 hours.
I think that's it. We're going to pull a Penske.
Yeah, we're going to pull a Penske.
All right.
So, all right. And then some non-car watching activities.
What did we do that was non-car watching?
Well, they had a Ferris wheel.
We
did not get on the Ferris wheel, but they had a Ferris wheel. They had some swings, like a carny swing.
Yeah.
They had fireworks.
That was really cool.
That was super cool. At 11 o'clock on Saturday night, they had fireworks, and it was a great fireworks show.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't long, but it was consistent, and they had, like, the fun ones, and I don't know. We were able to watch it right at the International Horseshoe, so there were cars flying around in front of us and fireworks right above our head.
And it was super,
heaven. I mean, yeah, that's heaven.
It was great.
Shit's exploding on the sky. Cars going around me. Let's go.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. So, on to the race.
On to the race itself.
Hold on. So, the tires on the prototype.
Yeah.
There was a little fight between the teams and Continental Tire, because Continental provides the tires for this. Mm-hmm. And there were issues with the tires not holding up.
Okay.
And with them having issues becoming punctures and tire failures. In fact, Wayne Taylor Racing, who won the 2016 running of the Rolex 24, mm-hmm. They actually had to retire from the race with 6.5 hours remaining.
Which is a big deal, because they also won the pole, so they were the pole sitter.
Yeah, they were the pole sitter as well, so they were set up to do very well.
Yeah.
And they, and other cars had similar problems, but not to the same extent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they decided for the safety of their drivers, they were going to step out of the race. Continental basically said that there was nothing wrong with their tires, and that they were just pushing the limits of the specs and what they can and can't do.
Which, we kind of talked about this at lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
My days are running together. That's kind of the whole point of those prototypes. You can't say, well, they were pushing too hard, they were pushing limits. Well, those prototypes are there so that the engine manufacturers can test out new technology and see how
it does
in these extreme conditions. So to say, well, they were racing too hard is kind of what Continental tried to say.
It's a fucking race. That's kind of the point.
Really? You should have expected that, Continental.
That's kind of the point. So yeah, Continental basically said, it's not us, you just are using the tires wrong.
Yeah.
And Wayne Taylor Racing came back and bitch slapped the shit out of them.
Yeah.
We don't know the details of that, but shortly after, there was an update from Continental that said that Wayne Taylor Racing was in fact driving within the specs of the tires, that they apologized, and that they are looking to see what the problem is so that it does not happen in the future. So Continental mouthed off a little bit and then got smacked the fuck back down.
Yeah. They thought they were going to be the big man, and Wayne Taylor Racing said, I don't think so, Junior.
Wayne Taylor Racing keeps their pimp hand strong.
They keep pimp hand strong. Let's see.
So, but that was sad for them that they had to retire.
It was, because I think it really set them off. I know that they were a big contender for the winner.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the winner, the winner was the number 58 car, and this year, there was only maybe two or three cautions.
Yeah, there weren't that many.
So, and I know about 8 or 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, they talked about that they probably were on track to break the record of laps and whatnot. Well, it turns out they actually did.
They did. They smashed it.
They did. So, the number 5 car, the winner, turned 108 laps, equaling 2,876.48 miles.
Wow.
That's a lot of miles. I think that's what we're pulling.
Yeah, I think it had to be more laps than that, because the lap count up the top on the pylon was like 800.
I have 808.
Oh, you said 108.
I'm sorry, 808.
I'm like, there's no way it was 108.
Yeah, 808. I stared at it and flipped. It, you know, I'm running on about 6 hours.
Sorry. Yeah, so 808.
Yes, 808
laps. Which, yeah, on the pylon, it would show lap number up at the top, and I Snapchatted that when we were right around 800. I was just like, this, it's just crazy.
It's crazy to us. It's crazy to us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just awesome. So there was, let's see.
There was another, like, controversial
issue. There was a little refueling issue with one of the GT teams. They actually got held for a penalty because they were not spending enough time in their pits refueling. Basically, IMSA puts sensors in and fixes your gas tank so that you cannot cheat and fill up faster or anything like that. And this team says that they were not cheating. They were just, in fact, you know,
working
more
smarter.
Efficient. Working smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. And IMSA said, yeah, we don't believe you. We can't really prove you were cheating, but we think that you were. So they held them in the pits for 5 minutes, which put them a full lap behind, and they never regained that. And they were the leader in their class at that time.
So here's my issue. And I know that actions by race control are not appealable. So
sure.
They're basically fucked. But the fact that race control is like, we think you're doing something wrong, but we can't prove it, like, that's dangerous. It's dangerous to me.
I mean,
if they can't prove it, they're just like, meh, maybe, but maybe not, but we're going to go ahead and penalize you. Like, if they had a little bit more proof than just, we think you're refueling too fast.
I feel like their proof is that they've got, God knows how many physicists that... and mechanical engineers that work to create the system that can look at it and say it's physically impossible for them to do X, Y, and Z if they're following these rules.
But I would think the team would have the exact same amount of physicists. And I mean, I just wish there was something more than our sensors are showing you're refueling too fast or you're cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I wish they would have. A little bit more than, you're refueling too fast,
you're cheating. Speculation.
Yeah. It's just too speculative for a stop and hold.
Agreed. And for a 5-minute stop and hold.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like a drive-through penalty or something like that, or a shorter time.
2 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Not something that's guaranteed to put you a lap behind.
They basically said you will not win this race.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's basically what that did. So, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to see Juan.
Juan was there.
And Elio.
Juan was driving the car very fast.
Juan was driving like he had something to prove, I'll tell you that.
Juan would like a ride for the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, Juan was...
He was auditioning.
Yes, he was. He was definitely auditioning.
But he definitely drove very fast.
He drove very well. I mean, that's the annoying thing about Juan is that he's so much fun to make fun of, but he is actually a very good driver.
And he's done...
He's done F1, he's done IndyCar.
NASCAR.
He's done NASCAR. I mean, he's a good driver. Even though he has somewhat of a rigid personality,
yeah.
He does adapt to new road situations in the car very well. As a driver, he's very flexible.
Yes.
For that kind of stuff. Personality-wise, not so much. But
no.
But yeah, he is a good driver, and he drove like hell. He was great to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed watching him on the track.
It was fun, because he was definitely chasing down the other Penske car.
He absolutely was. And Elio was fun to watch.
Elio did a great job.
Yeah.
And I think this is his debut as a sports car driver.
It is.
Well, he was driving the prototype, but I'll count it still as the same.
Yeah.
He was good. The Penske boys didn't do too bad.
They did not. Let's see. I think 9th and 10th.
Sounds about right.
So, and Ricky Taylor's, who was driving the car that came in 9th.
That's the Elio Graham. No. I don't have my sheet in front of me.
I don't either.
And I've been running on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Juan was driving the one that came in 10th. So they were right behind each other.
And I think, because Juan and Elio were not in the same vehicle. I think Pagano was in Juan's vehicle as well.
Okay, then Graham's in Elio's.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, but they
sometimes
did not.
Sometimes the Penske boys run together in my mind.
But they did very well.
They did very well. You know who else did really well? Roger Penske.
Roger Penske. So he stayed awake and was in the pit, like in the box, the entire 24 hours.
He's 80. I believe people need to realize when we say stuff like that, like, he's an 80-year-old man, and he was awake for 24 hours.
I mean, now I feel ashamed that we didn't stay awake for 24 hours. Fucking Roger Penske was up.
Roger Penske beat us.
He's a beast, man.
He is.
I didn't realize he was 80.
Yeah, he's up there.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to happen to the Penske team when he's no longer at the helm?
I don't believe that he will ever die now at this point. I think Roger Penske...
He will live forever.
He's like a Highlander.
Maybe. He will live forever. But yeah. And you know who he reminds me of?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I said the exact same thing to my family when I was watching the game last
week. Like, they could be long-lost brothers because they both... The headpiece, they stand with their arms kind of crossed.
They almost kind of have a very similar facial build.
They all kind of have, they both have that almost resting bitch face.
But like the man equivalent.
Yeah.
Like resting, like cranky grandpa face.
Yeah, resting grumpy face. Or
I like grumpy face better, yeah.
RGF.
Yes.
But they're giving nothing away. They're all business.
You will not, you cannot get anything from their face. Like, is it going good? Is it going bad? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
They both like to cover up their mouths when they talk.
Yes.
So you can't see what they're saying.
So definitely, I am on board with the Penske-Belichick
thing. Yeah.
They might actually just be the same person.
It's possible.
I've not seen them in the same room together.
Maybe clones. Clones of one another.
Or they're both each Highlanders, and at one point they're going to fight each other. I'm going to put my money on Roger.
My money's on Penske for sure.
I mean, I'm just going to put us on, it's on Roger.
Yeah.
Let's see some other...
Because Roger Penske will kick your ass, and he'll do it in khakis and a polo. Belichick's always wearing a sweatshirt.
Yeah, he got that hoodie on.
Yeah.
It's cheap. I wear hoodies all the time.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Roger Penske will kick your ass.
And look business
and
appropriate.
And look good doing it.
So, let's see. Saavedra came in 12th. His team that he was on.
Yes.
They came in 12th. Alonso's team came in 13th. And then Scott Dixon and his team won their category.
Yeah, they did. The GTLM.
Yay! So, yet another watch for Scott.
Yep. Another watch for Scott, which we tweeted at him. And... made some joke about him not going to the Taco Bell.
Maybe you shouldn't go to Taco Bell anymore.
Maybe you shouldn't go to Taco Bell wearing that watch.
Skip Taco Bell again.
But yeah, we also saw Scott Dixon.
We did.
He was on a golf cart, and he was driving to this area where the drivers were all eating because we went down a road that we probably shouldn't have gone down, but nobody stopped us.
I mean, how are you going to enforce it?
So, but we definitely saw him on a golf cart, and he was heading to the where they were eating. But it was in the middle of the race. It was in the middle of the night, Saturday night, and so we did not stop him and ask him for a picture because... He was a man on a mission.
For a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man needed some food. And I also... I don't want to fuck up anybody's drive.
Not on, like, an endurance race type thing.
No.
No, I don't mess with that.
But we did see him. We just did not get a picture with him.
Yeah. He looked good.
He did?
That category, they also turned more laps in that category this year since, like, the 1980s.
Yeah.
So, another lap record broken.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
It's a good one to go to.
It was. A good one to kind of cut our teeth on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just fun.
It really was.
And all the LED lights on the cars at night.
Oh, my God.
That was so fucking cool.
And it's not the same LED light, which is what I really like. There's a lot of different...
colors.
Yes.
They're purple, blue, green. I loved it.
It was real fun.
And different colored headlights, too. They didn't all even have white headlights. Some had yellow.
I think the different classes have different headlights. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it's easier, I think, to tell at night.
Who's
coming up behind me and is flashing at me.
Are they faster than me or not? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Which I also love that the drivers flash lights at the cars slower in front of them. Like,
I mean, I've been doing that our whole drive.
I know. It's fine.
Did you see the person last night that I flipped my brights on and just, I didn't even flash. I just left them on.
I was there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine.
It wasn't fine. They were going way too slow in the fast lane.
Well, I meant that we're still here and we're...
Well, yeah.
...nearly home.
It's true. So, but yeah, very exciting. So, overall, lap record broken for the GTLM class.
And then, Chip Ganassi also got their 200th win with the Dixons.
Oh, that's
team.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, that's crazy.
Chip Chip Ganassi. What are you going to say about Chip?
I mean,
hashtag he likes winners, I think is his hashtag.
Yeah.
I like winners, obviously.
Chip likes to win.
Chip likes to win.
That's just who he is as a person. Ain't mad at that.
It happens.
Ain't no shame in that game.
Ah.
So, well, women in racing.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with the female racers this weekend.
We did. So we actually got to meet Ashley Freeberg.
That was so cool.
It was very cool. One of the guys that we met up with, they were friends of our campsite buddies, actually knows her.
Yeah.
And so walked over the garage area, and we met her and chit-chatted for a minute. Got a picture.
That's who we are.
Yep, who we are. And told her good luck, and they did pretty well.
They did very well. They ended up getting spun out, but
yeah,
she was definitely, it was a good run until that happened.
It really was.
So that's good for her, though. That's good publicity that you get in there, and the women are just out there fighting just like the other men.
Absolutely.
Are.
Well, and she raced on Friday.
Yes, so the BMW thing was on Friday.
Yes, and then we did not get a chance to talk to Catherine Legg.
No.
Every time we went by, we saw her many times, but every time they were like in the middle of a meeting, and by in the middle of a meeting, I mean, she had the entire team around her and she was going over strategy of what they were going to do. She was running the meeting.
HBIC.
Yeah.
Let's call it.
HMFIC.
There you go.
That's my personal.
I like that.
HMFIC. She was the head motherfucker in charge.
She definitely can. She was, you could just tell. I was like, yeah. Oh, she's commanding that room.
She was, and I'm sure she wasn't going to interrupt her to ask for a picture.
No! We're going to have to put to work or something if we asked her for a picture.
Exactly. Yeah, she did just grab a broom, start bossing us around. Mm-hmm. So, but their team...
Yes.
Came in second in their class.
Which is also awesome.
That is awesome.
The
GTD.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they came in second in their class, which... pretty badass. And I'll tell you, you know, Le Mans has multiple classes. We're not used to that in IndyCar.
Right.
Having multiple types of classes on the road at the same time. And I was curious as to how it would go, because I feel like as a driver, that would be very annoying to me.
I agree with that sentiment.
But when we watch it, I assume because they're all so used to it, it seemed to flow very well.
It did.
And even on curves, it was almost understood, this car will go to the inside, this car will go to the outside to pass when you're coming up.
Yes.
I don't know if they have, you know, car-to-car communication at all, or if it's just understood that this is how you pass and go around. But I didn't see any major traffic jams. All of the passing I saw from, you know, prototype to the GTD or the GTLM, it all seemed very smooth.
It did seem very smooth, and it's kind of interesting to just sit and watch it, because you can almost kind of tell... Well, in the beginning, the classes were separate, and then when we watched later, you could tell where, like, the prototypes are weaving in and out of traffic.
Yes.
And things like that. It was fun to watch with multiple classes.
It really was. And it wasn't a clusterfuck like I thought it was going to be.
Sorry, we were getting passed by a truck and I was cranky.
Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't a clusterfuck like I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. It was... There was always something... to watch.
There always was.
And it almost felt like there was too much to watch at times. Like,
yes.
I don't know.
And somebody had said that to us before the race started on Saturday. They told us on Friday that it's almost sensory overload.
I think that's a perfect word for it.
It kind of is, but in a good way.
Yeah, because you, at some point, you just kind of sit back. Like, we sat up in the stands for the final 2 hours of the race. We got up pretty high, kind of more.
I would say final 3 to 4 hours. We were up there for a while.
Yeah, that's true. It was probably three or four. But, you know, for a while we were trying to track separate things and watch things. And then at one point you just kind of lean back and...
You just watch cars.
Your eyes just naturally go around, see what's happening. It was nice.
Yeah.
Lean back.
Plus it was easy to pick out the Penske Boys prototype cars.
Yep, those were really easy to pick out.
They were. They were white. They looked similar. I was able to find them.
There they are. There's Juan.
But yeah, and being up that high, since their track is a little smaller than ours, and they don't have any trees or anything on the inside,
yeah,
you were able to see the entire track from up high in the stands.
Yes, it's a very great track.
So yeah, for viewing, that was awesome.
On point.
And I understand why NASCAR fans like it, because you can see the entire tri-oval from high up in the stands.
I think... Probably could see the tri-oval from a lot more places, but with the kind of swirling of the road course.
Yeah, with the road course that they were using this weekend.
I'm wondering if, like, the flagpoles and the horseshoe could be taken down. if they're like permanent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that also would probably help lessen the distraction of views for NASCAR fans.
That's true.
Just, I feel like NASCAR fans were 5-year-olds, but
I mean,
sometimes they can be.
Sometimes they can be. So, a few helpful tips for Daytona.
Well, we did have the pleasure of meeting Chip.
Chip, who is the president of the Daytona International Speedway.
And who looks like Stephen Merchant, for anybody who's into British comedy like I am.
He does.
I was like, oh my Christ.
He looks like a thicker Stephen.
He's a little thicker. Yeah. I'll agree.
Super, he looks nice guy. Super young, too, but he's not.
Especially after he read off his, like, you know, we were chatting and he kind of laid out his resume. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what you're doing, buddy, but you look really good for your...
Yeah, he's got some good genes.
Supposed age.
Because he doesn't look like he's broken 30.
No.
But he has to have, based on the number of years that he's worked different places.
Yes. Anyway,
but he was very nice, came and hung out with us. Obviously, we saw Doug Bowles.
I mean, obviously.
He came and hung out with us. We had a great time with him, as we always do.
Yep.
But yeah, so a few things. We wish Daytona had more screens.
Especially inside the camping areas in the infield.
Yeah, because there were no screens on the inside. So where we were camping, we could only see a short area of the track. And so if you stayed there, which was nice to stay there because our food's there.
Yeah.
We acquired a couch.
Yep.
That was so classy, we named it Peck Bundy. You know, we have all of our drinks.
We didn't acquire the couch.
We as a campsite.
The campsite. The compound.
The compound. We acquired Peg Bundy.
Yes.
And nobody ever did come for our photo. We told everybody to meet at 11 at Peg for a photo, and nobody was fucking there at 11.
You weren't awake at 11.
I woke up specifically. No, I set my alarm, and I specifically woke up, and I looked out of the tent, and the only people who were there were Brian and Debbie.
No, the rest of the family were all there.
Did you take a picture?
No, because you were asleep.
Why didn't you come get me? When I looked up, nobody was out there.
No, they were all kind of waiting around until 11. And then, yeah, like the family that we met.
Yeah, the Siles?
Yeah, Doug.
Huh. Well, I didn't see anybody sitting on the couch, so
well,
I went back to bed.
They were meandering.
No. I was like, those motherfuckers. Well, we didn't get a picture on Peg. But anyhow.
Well, we did get a picture on Peg.
Well, we did, yes.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it would have been nice to have a screen because, you know, it's nice to stay at your campsite. You're comfy. You're hanging out. But we couldn't tell what was going on. And so the only real screen on the infield was in the fan zone area, which was just littered with people because it was the only fucking screen.
And it's not near the camping areas.
It's not far, but it's not close.
So if they put, like, because we found, like, we were looking at the screens and they have mobile screens.
Yeah. That were on top of semi-trucks.
They could easily, perhaps, and I'm sure there's probably something we don't know about that, like, everybody who runs a track is like, nah, we can't do that because X, Y, and Z, but whatever, we don't know. They could have put it at least one somewhere in the infield.
Yeah.
And then just kind of set a spot up there for people to come and sit and watch for a couple hours so you can see what's going on, where are the standings, because you can pull it up on your phone, but...
Connectivity was not great because there were so many people there using...
Look, I get that tracks now have Wi-Fi, but if everybody on the track is on the Wi-Fi...
They don't have enough bandwidth for that.
It's not going
to
help out.
You don't have the bandwidth to support that.
Which, I'm happy for you. I'm glad, but no.
But you do not have the bandwidth to support it.
You do not.
So that would be... And the screens, even when you were in the stands, they were portable screens, and so they weren't very big either.
Right.
So... It was hard to, once we were outside, and like once we were in the grandstand area on the outside of the track, we couldn't see the running list of who was in the lead because the screen was too small. So you had to choose, do I want a good seat to see the track, or do I want a seat where I can see a screen where I can read who's in the lead? Because you can't hear.
No.
I mean, that's just not happening.
That's just never happening in races.
So more screens would be nice. And also, some better signage about... Where the hell you're going.
Where are you going?
And I know that we say this all the time, and honestly, I have never paid attention to whether or not the IMS has good signage.
We could be absolutely wrong. We could be.
Yeah, I mean, they may not have good signage either. I don't know. I've been going there my whole life, so I never have to look.
We just know where to go.
So I'm going to make a point to pay attention this May.
Yeah, we probably should at some point. But yeah, and I think that was a big thing with Bomarito. They also, just a lack of kind of like... here's where you're going if this is where you want to go. Like, you want to go to the track? Right here. Like, you want to take the tunnel to the infield? Right here. Like, it was, you had to look for, like, one or two signs.
Yeah. And, like, even when we were getting on the shuttle, you know, there were three different lines, and it's, like, lot one, lot three, lot six. And we look,
we want to go to the track.
We want to go to the, to here.
To the
stadium. You want lot one. Why did you put words up there that I know? Grandstands, infield, camping.
I'm not going to carry around a map and look at it.
No.
And neither are your typical fans.
No.
We're not going to, like, whip out our handy-dandy map and go, okay, I want lot one. Like, there should have been, like, grandstands above it.
Yeah. Grandstand slash lot one.
I mean, it's still a very nice track.
It is.
I felt like we got real negative there for a second.
We did, but I mean, that would have just made things a little bit more helpful.
I think so.
For the times that we were out by ourselves. We were with the other people who had already been there.
They knew right where to go. They were like, follow me. Great.
And next time we go, we know where everything is now. So, you know, but just that initial, it would be nice.
It would be nice.
So, yeah, overall, I would say good weekend.
Definitely good weekend.
I'm really glad we did it. I'm excited to do it again. And now we know exactly how we want to plan our weekend.
Yes.
We know what to expect and we know how to plan for it. And I think that we can have an even better time.
Yeah. So, like, you know, a lot of people talked about, well, a lot of the stuff we do is trial and error. Well, this was our first time, so it was a lot more error.
Yes, we had a lot of error.
A lot of error.
Yep. We've never done a 24-hour race before, so.
That's true. So we didn't know what.
And I, honest to God, I can sleep through anything. And so I did not anticipate having any trouble sleeping during the cars. I really didn't. Because, I mean, you can attest to that.
Oh, you've been. Yeah, every time I take the wheel, you're asleep.
Yeah, no, I sleep any position, anywhere, any time of day.
The opposite is not true.
Yes, that is not the case for you. I assumed you would have trouble sleeping during the cars.
I assumed it, and then I thought, well, maybe it would become like a white noise.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember or kind of rationalize that with different engines and different classes of cars, it's going to be different sounds.
You know, it sounds so logical when you say it now. But didn't cross my mind either.
No, because we've never done this before, so. It happens.
I mean, obviously, three different classes of cars and all that business, they're going to sound different. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I was unable to get solid sleep during that, which very unexpected for me. So, yeah, next time, just pulling an all-nighter. We're pulling a Penske.
Yep, that's what we're going to call all-nighters from here on out.
Yep, pulling a Penske, and I think that we drive through the night again.
Yeah, because that was
there. It was, yeah, and it was fine, and I think that we get there, we set up camp, and we go straight to sleep.
Yeah.
We just put ourselves on, like, an evening schedule.
Yep. I'll just bring an Advil PM. Knock my ass out.
Yep. And then we have a bunch of caffeine and alcohol.
And we just post up.
Rock out with our motherfucking cocks out.
Jeez, a pee.
Oh, boy. I'm talking taking a blanket and a pillow into the grandstands.
I mean, that wasn't on the prohibited list, was it?
It wasn't, but I don't know if it doesn't fit in your bag. I might actually just bring my winter coat because it's so long it works as
it
a blanket.
It works as a blanket?
Yeah. And just snuggle up in the stands.
Just kind of hunker on down.
Yeah. Well, and really, with the stadium seats, since the seats fold up, I was looking at it, it's wide enough that you could lay down on one of those. Like on the, where your feet
go. On the kind of top of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could just lay on your side. If you had a pillow, it would hold your head up high enough so it'd come up over the back of the chair. Because, I mean, they are more true stadium seats.
They are very true stadium seats.
So you could still have an unobstructed view of the track and be laying down.
Or just overly caffeinate ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they closed, like, if we had to get out of the track yesterday, if that was the case, then we just find a hotel.
No, I don't think that you do.
Okay.
I think that everything's open the whole time. Yeah, because you can go into the garages at any point in time. Some of the guys from our group did go to the garages at 3 a.m.
No, I meant Sunday, after the race was over, if they shunt everybody out.
You know, I don't know that.
But, let's find a hotel somewhere. Not a big deal.
I mean, worst case scenario, drive 5 minutes down the road, go to a hotel, and die.
Yeah. Pass out.
Pass out, sleep for 18 hours, then get back on the road.
Just power through.
So, yeah. So, next year, we will definitely know what we're doing.
Yes.
But it was still very fun.
It was... a very great experience. I don't think I have any regret of doing it at all.
Oh, not at all.
Despite the fact that I'm running on maybe 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah, we're going to sleep like corpses when we get home.
And take about 5 showers.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to use things that have little beads to scrub and get extra dirt and dead skin, like, on my entire body.
Yeah. The road track grime is real right now.
Yes.
Also, I just want to say, having driven through 14,000 states, I do hate the state of Florida.
Oh.
I hate the state of Florida.
The drivers in the state of Florida are the fucking worst.
They are, and I don't think they have the pullover, you know, the here in Indiana, if you go too slow in the left lane and you are not lapping people, you can get a ticket, which I think is the greatest law ever written.
It is. Either speed up or get the fuck out of the way.
I mean, let's do this. Apparently in Florida, that's not a thing. Yeah. So I hate Florida.
I hate Florida. Oh my gosh. The whole state. It's like God's waiting room.
You know what? It's not the nice tropical camphor smell. It's actually just mothballs. The whole state is smelling like mothballs.
It does. It reeks.
But the weather was not bad.
The weather was very nice. We thought we were going to get stormed on. Did not happen.
That was really nice.
It was really nice.
The rain held off until we got in the car and didn't stop until we pulled over.
That was not so nice.
It was not. Did it rain? I think it stopped raining finally in Tennessee. Kind of.
Yeah, because it didn't. It just sprinkled a little bit when I drove.
Yeah.
When you were driving, you got screwed.
It was rain all the way through.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if this is the trade-off for not getting rained on during the race, I'll take it.
It's true, because that would not have been fun.
No.
I mean, we were prepared, but
it was also windy.
It was very windy. I did not expect it to be that windy.
I didn't either. That, the wind kind of got us.
Yeah, the wind made it a lot cooler. Well, and I think, I mean, there were weather advisories for the wind in that area, so I don't think it's normally that windy.
True.
But yeah, that's definitely something we'll plan for, because I had plans of, you know, wearing my hair down a few days because it was going to be cooler.
Yeah.
And that wasn't fucking happening with that wind.
Nope. No, I don't think my hair was down at all this week. So, but by the way, oh my God, we forgot to talk about the pre-race festivities.
Oh yes.
That was insane. I have never been there for like a grid, and I don't think they really do this for IndyCar, but I think it's something that Formula One kind of does.
Yeah.
Like the parade of cars and the grid walk and everything else. That was a legit experience. I will not forget.
It was awesome. We were right in the middle of the grass. Go ahead.
I say on the track, so they've got grass in the middle of it.
Yep, the grass on the track, and our whole group was there, and we got to see all the drivers come out and be announced.
They kind of paraded all the cars. I think it was just the LMP cars, so the prototype cars, all kind of paraded. They got pushed in front, and then the drivers came out. It was really cool.
It was very cool.
It was a great spectacle, actually.
It was, and then we got to walk across the track to then go to our stands. A lot similar to what you can do the morning of the Indy 500 before they close the gates.
Yeah,
and you can't walk across the track anymore. So that was super cool, and we got to take pictures. We actually had our picture taken by legit photographers many times.
Multiple times. Also, shout out to Debbie.
Debbie and Brian at Indy 500 Pirates. So, because he always wears his checkered shorts, and Debbie wore black and white checkered every single day.
And you know that's important to us.
It is important to us, and it's rare that we meet someone that can hang with us. And the three of us went out and did some shopping, and we got stopped, and so.
All three, I mean, she's the first person to get stopped with us, and they want somebody else. Yeah.
Nobody else has been able to hang with our level. But Debbie brought her A-game.
She did, and it was
great. It's not her first rodeo.
It's not, and I'm still jealous of her Tupperware Rubbermaid organization space.
Oh my gosh, she has it down to a science.
Like, I'm going to spend hours planning.
We're going to talk about planning with her next year, because she obviously has it figured out.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about St. Pete.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, she's got it down.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and let's talk about the banking, because we're used to that 9-degree banking on our track. The banking on these is ridiculous.
You read the amount and you're like, okay, but when you are standing at the I hate Indiana. It's snowing right now.
Oh my God.
When you were standing... Not, definitely not in Florida.
Ugh.
Standing at the bottom of the track, you are craning your neck up to see the top of it. Like, just the road itself.
It feels like they're driving on a... It feels like on a wall. It might as well be a 90-degree angle. That's what it feels like.
Every single time we were standing there, part of me just watching the cars was just watching them go up that bank. Because they just start to go almost vertical.
It was amazing.
I was like, I would be so scared. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It really was. Again, very unique experience.
Very unique experience. If you get the chance to go, definitely do it. It was great.
Yes.
It was a good time.
Maybe not to NASCAR Daytona.
But go to the
Rolex
24.
First of all, Daytona, I need you to stop calling yourselves like the world's... What was it called? The world's greatest sports center. Sports center, motorsport capital of the world.
Yeah, or like world center of racing.
I don't believe that. That's correct.
No, you're not.
No. No. Their banners
are... No, you're not.
We're celebrating 60 years. That's cute. Call me when you got 3 digits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me know when you hit a century.
Okay.
Okay, chump.
Then maybe we can think of a nickname for you, but not right now. No.
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 That's a hard no, Daytona.
We did throw a little shade about this, because that's not how we play.
Uh-uh. Uh-uh. Our track is better than your track.
Our track is better than your track.
Uh-huh. Our president's better than your president.
I mean, your president is a nice guy.
He's cool, but he's no Doug Bowles.
But come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was really cool of him to come over and chit-chat with us.
Especially since we were definitely a bunch of IndyCar fans.
Yeah.
Like...
A bunch of...
Hardcore.
Fairly drunk IndyCar fans at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean...
Because it was Friday.
It was Friday.
Yeah. But it was still...
But yeah, no, he's very nice, but yeah. But you're no IMS and you're no Doug Bowles.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. Any lingering thoughts? Anything else?
I'm just, you know, racing season's now officially kicked off. I'm ready for our special season to kick off. I'm ready for Chip Ganassi to name, Dale Coyne to name the driver.
For the love of God.
And I'm ready to go to St. Pete, even though we are literally still on our way back from Florida.
I mean, I'm with you.
Maybe the rain, snow mix is helping this a little bit, but I want to see our cars on a track.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I want to see those new bodies out.
In action.
In action. Yes. I want to see it, yeah.
And all the 500 announcements are just making me more excited for May.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yep, just getting giddier and giddier.
I know.
It's going to be a good year.
It's going to be a great year.
Oh, it's going to be a good year. So.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Yeah. It would have been fun if we had actually ended this in Speedway, but we are not yet in Speedway.
We are not yet in Speedway, so. But that's your race report from the road.
Woo!
All right, just hit stop.
Yeah.